Michelle Obama's journey from Chicago's South Side to the White House represents the power of finding your authentic voice in a world that often tries to define you. Growing up in a modest apartment, Michelle learned early that showing up matters. Her father, Fraser, never missed work at Chicago's water filtration plant despite advancing multiple sclerosis, teaching her quiet dignity and perseverance. Her mother, Marion, provided wisdom and high expectations without micromanagement, creating space for Michelle to develop independence while feeling supported. In their small apartment on Euclid Avenue, Michelle absorbed lessons that would shape her entire life: work ethic, authenticity, and courage to overcome obstacles, like when her piano teacher, Robbie, quietly helped her find middle C during a recital, demonstrating how true support empowers rather than rescues. The classroom became Michelle's pathway forward, from Bryn Mawr Elementary to Whitney Young Magnet School, where a 90-minute commute exposed her to unfamiliar parts of Chicago. For the first time, she encountered the apparatus of privilege, watching how wealth and connections created invisible advantages for some students. Despite feeling initially uncertain among seemingly confident peers, Michelle thrived academically. When her French teacher announced a Paris trip, Michelle didn't mention it, knowing her parents' financial limits with her brother at Princeton. Yet they insisted on sending her, having never been to Europe themselves. They saw their children as their investment. At Princeton and Harvard Law, Michelle grappled with affirmative action perceptions while realizing these institutions weren't pure meritocracies, as athletes, legacy students, and wealthy families also received special consideration. After Harvard, she joined Sidley and Austin in Chicago, where she was asked to mentor a summer associate, Barack Obama. Though initially skeptical, she found someone who approached life with boundless possibility. Her father's declining health prompted her to reassess her path. "If I died, I didn't want to be remembered for legal briefs or corporate trademarks." This led her to public service at half her legal salary, and to Public Allies, where she built Chicago's chapter, placing young talent in community organizations. "It was the best job I ever had," she writes, showing how purpose-driven work fulfilled her more than corporate success. Michelle and Barack's relationship deepened after leaving a Les Miserables performance together. Watching him play basketball, Michelle discovered a new attraction to his powerful presence. She admired his refusal to be limited by others' expectations. While she had followed a traditional path through law school to corporate law, Barack chose purpose over prestige. His state Senate election created a new routine: weekdays in Springfield, teaching law to manage debts, and Friday dates at Zinfandel Restaurant, where Michelle would wait eagerly for his arrival. Their journey to parenthood brought challenges. After a miscarriage and fertility treatments, Michelle often managed medical procedures alone while Barack was in Springfield. Her frustrations dissolved upon hearing their baby's heartbeat. The births of Malia, 1998, and Sasha, 2001, transformed her life, though balancing part-time work with motherhood created an ongoing struggle between professional and maternal obligations. Barack's electrifying 2004 Democratic National Convention speech changed everything. Suddenly, people recognized him everywhere, rushing over for autographs and photos. His Senate victory with 70% of the vote, the largest margin in Illinois history, accelerated their trajectory toward national prominence. While he shuttled between Chicago and Washington, Michelle maintained stability at home, coordinating school pickups and ballet lessons while continuing her own career. Yet increasingly, she noticed herself becoming defined primarily as Mrs. Obama rather than by her individual accomplishments. When Barack announced his presidential campaign in February 2007, Michelle focused on practical concerns, ensuring 8-year-old Malia and 5-year-old Sasha had warm enough coats for the freezing Springfield morning. Only after guiding Sasha safely to the platform did Michelle look up to see over 15,000 supporters stretching beyond the Capitol grounds. "I'd never understood why people would spend hours standing at political rallies," she reflected, "but suddenly I realized we were the band, the team taking the field. This was democracy's call and response." As the first African American First Lady, Michelle understood she'd be measured differently. The grace automatically extended to her white predecessors would need to be earned, with intense scrutiny over everything from her facial expressions to her sleeveless dresses. Living in the White House felt surreal, like staying in an exclusive hotel where fresh flowers appeared daily and staff maintained everything immaculately. This luxury sometimes gave Michelle vertigo, considering her South Side Chicago roots. She worked deliberately to maintain normalcy by establishing clear rules. The girls would make their own beds, do their homework without special consideration, and handle their own laundry. Her most meaningful initiative began with planning a White House garden alongside elementary school students, which evolved into Let's Move, a comprehensive program addressing childhood obesity through partnerships with food suppliers, pediatricians, and local officials. The initiative secured significant commitments. Major school lunch suppliers reduced sodium, sugar, and fat while doubling fresh produce. The American Beverage Association committed to clearer calorie labeling, and media companies donated millions in airtime for public service announcements promoting healthy habits. As the Obama presidency concluded, Michelle reflected on what would endure. Beyond policy achievements, 45 million kids eating healthier meals, 1.5 million veterans hired or trained, 20 million more Americans with health insurance, perhaps most meaningful was witnessing cultural shifts, like the diverse Hamilton cast performing beneath White House chandeliers, telling an inclusive American story. Michelle came to see America as a place of contradictions and resilience, where stories can be told different ways. Her own story, growing up with a disabled dad in a small apartment yet surrounded by love, could be one of having nothing or having everything, depending on perspective. For Michelle, becoming isn't about arriving somewhere specific. It's forward motion, continuously evolving toward a better self. "I'm an ordinary person who found herself on an extraordinary journey," she concludes. By sharing her story, she creates space for others to embrace their own journeys, finding power in being truly known and heard. This is how we become. Not through dramatic transformations, but through small, consistent choices to live authentically and lift others along the way. Michelle Obama's story exemplifies staying true to oneself while adapting to extraordinary circumstances. From watching her father maintain dignity despite physical limitations to facing public scrutiny, she demonstrated unwavering resilience. During the presidential campaign, when opponents labeled her as angry or unpatriotic, she responded by speaking authentically about her love for America while acknowledging its complexities. In the White House, rather than retreating from critics who focused on her appearance or remarks, she channeled her energy into meaningful initiatives addressing childhood health, military families, and girls' education. Most significantly, Michelle's presence as First Lady, with her intelligence, grace, and unapologetic authenticity, expanded the sense of possibility for countless young people, particularly girls of color, creating a legacy that transcends her time in office.